Great. So this morning I wanted to just focus in on a portion of scripture as a bit of a launch pad just now. But I wanted to really focus in on the theme of being kingdom marines. and talk about, I'll get to it just now, I'll get to it towards the end, living according to a a biblical code of honor and a biblical code of conduct as kingdom men and kingdom marines. We give some time for ministry and worship and prayer together for each other and into our families, and yeah, just opening up to the Holy Spirit and to God together. So let's just pray, shall we? Gareth, would you like to pray for us? And, sure. Yeah.
Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives. Mm. We thank you that we can come together as men. Mm. Lord, as your sons and Lorders, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
For speaking to us, for giving us your heavenly vision, for giving us your words and your desires for us as men. Mm. And Lord, I thank you that head knowledge will become heart knowledge too.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yeah. That we'll receive these things, embrace them, Lord, and walk out here mighty men.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Mighty name of Jesus.
Yes. Amen. So it's Percy, Charles, Roy, Colin, Gareth, Malcolm, Tom. Okay, that's just, we didn't, I'll do the round the room introduction. So how are men wired? If you don't mind, I'm going to stand. I'm going to use this a little bit later. How are men wired? I don't know if you've read any of John Eldridge's stuff, but he's written a few books on being men, and he's written one book called Wild at Heart. Yeah. And he talks about men as adventurers. We've got an adventure to live. Men as warriors. We've got a battle to fight. Men as lovers. We've got a beauty to win, which is our wives. But beyond that, for us spiritually, it involves being, you know, winning for the glory of Christ. That's the beauty that we're aiming at, and wanting to become more like. And yeah, for our wives and the bride of Christ, which is part of that as well. So adventurers, warriors, battle to fight, lovers, beauty to win, and I'm throwing in another one, examples, a legacy to leave. And so God wants us to enjoy the adventure this year together. Yeah, it's we're wired for adventure. We're wired for action. You know, the little boy thing, the little girl thing, you know, the girls will go, the dolls in the house, and the pram and kind of the domestic thing, the little boy, the truck, the gun, you know, the climbing frame, the wall, the tree, and we, you know, I remember a young lad who, where we live, the wall just outside our house is a bit deceptive. It's a high wall, probably about 8 foot or so, maybe a bit even taller. But the deceptive thing, or maybe five, let's say 5 foot, but the deceptive thing is that there's a drop of 20 foot on the other side. And one time we had a couple who came round to visit us. We hadn't been here that long, and we had a meal with them. And the young lad, who was probably about 4 or 5, disappeared. There was two young lads, and it was the younger of the two, disappeared. And we suddenly saw him on top of this wall. He climbed the wall. And I said to the dad, get out of there quickly. He could actually kill himself if he fell off. And I mean, it was just a normal wall width. And it was a 20-foot drop the other side. Somebody, actually, a guy years before, apparently, a burglar had stolen something and then took the quick route out and ended up in hospital and almost killed himself. And But the young lad thing, there's a wall to climb, you know. So the thing of adventure is wired into us as men, you know. And so, you know, the idea of clay pigeon shooting and go-karting and, you know, Paul's keen to do a bit of diving. Yeah. Not everybody will be go the dive. What was that? Motorcycle.
Knockhill.
Yeah, Knockhill. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah, this thing of adventure, you know, it's wired into us. And then the thing of that there's a war on, there's a battle to fight, you know. And if we don't know that we're in a war, we're probably already defeated to some extent. Yeah, there's no time out in this war. And as men, we face significant challenges, you know, when you look at what's going on in our culture and all the challenges, particularly when we look at it from a biblical point of view. But God equips us for the battle, and lovers, you know, lovers of our wives, lovers of our children. Jesus as the Marine commander has given us a command, love one another. You know, so the love is right at the center of everything that we do. It is probably the center. And then, of course, being examples. So how do we fulfill that and live up to that? I want to, if you've got your ammunition with you, which is your Bible, that's your ammunition as a Marine. I'd like us to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're just going to read a few verses to verse 15. And this is going to be like a basis for us for the year ahead. And yeah, 2 Peter chapter 1. And this passage is divided up into two sections. The first four verses have to do with Christ's commitment to us and our relationship with him and the power that's available to us in that. And then the verses thereafter, Peter is challenging us as men to add to our faith, to do our utmost to add certain qualities. And I want to call them qualities of a Marine, qualities of a kingdom man that we need to add to our lives. And we're going to look at some of these qualities in the year. But this morning we're going to focus on what we build from, which is the first four verses. But let's just read it together. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all of you who share the same precious faith, thing of value. Faith given to us by Jesus Christ, our God and Saviour, who makes us right with God. May God bless you with his special favour and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus our God and Lord better and better. In the New King James it says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, as we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. Amazing verse. His divine power has given us everything we need. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness and virtue. And by that same mighty power, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires, lust, and that you will share in his divine nature. So, in the light of this, for this reason, make every effort. One version says, do your utmost to apply the benefits of these promises to your life. Then your faith will produce a life of moral excellence. That's the first quality. Add or exercise moral excellence. A life of moral excellence leads to knowing God better. Knowing God leads to self-control. Self-control leads to patient endurance, and patient endurance leads to godliness. Godliness leads to brotherly love, which is one of the things that God's been highlighting to us in the last 2 weeks, you know, that word that Trevor had. Brotherly love. And finally, you will grow to have genuine love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you will become productive and useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop these virtues are blind, or at least very short-sighted. They've already forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Doing this, you will never stumble or fall away, and God will open the gates of heaven for you to enter into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I plan to keep on reminding you of these things. So Peter's a good, he's a good corporal. He's reminding us of what the captain's, these key qualities that the captain is looking for us to work into our lives. I plan to keep on reminding you of these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth. So, you're doing well, but I want you to keep doing well. Yes, I believe I should keep on reminding you of these things as long as I live. It's a great thing for us to hear that, guys, that we keep reminding, keep encouraging, keep stirring, keep sharpening, keep forging. But the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that my days here on earth are numbered and I am soon to die. So I will work hard to make these things clear to you. I want you to remember them long after I am gone. He wants to leave a legacy, yeah? So that's just wanted to read that text as a bit of a basis today, and there is a lot in that text. But how do we live as adventurers, lovers, warriors, and examples? The first four verses I want to focus in on today, and we'll kind of develop some of those other qualities as we go forward in this year. And I've read that text so that you could actually have a look at it in your own time and explore some of those qualities for yourself, you know, moral excellence, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly love, and so on. But I want to focus on that those first four verses where it says, because we're in this relationship with Christ, that we're called to be effective and fruitful warriors, it begins with the fact that we've been called to his glory and called for his glory, yeah, called into his virtue and called, which is excellence, and called for his excellence. And so it all begins with a radical encounter with Jesus, yeah. The interesting thing about it is that he says that you've through this encounter, through new birth, that we have received through the Holy Spirit God's divine power that enables us to live life in a godly way. And we can, the Amplified says that it gives us the ability to do everything that we need to do it for life and for godliness. And so it's like this grace package that we received when we are saved through the Holy Spirit is sufficient for everything that we need to be an adventurer, go on mission, to overcome, to be an example, and to love in a new way. Are you with me? So everything flows out of that. So whilst we all men are wired for that, when we meet Jesus and we commit to Christ, we are made alive, man alive, we are made alive to become that. Yeah? And that's key for us to know, isn't it? Because we take knocks from the outside. There are challenges in our walk. But I was saying to Tom this week, you know, I love that phrase in the Eric Liddell movie, Chariots of Fire, you know, where he's talking about running the race of faith with strength of will and focus and purpose. And he says to the crowd, he says, and the power to do that comes from within. Comes from within. There's a divine power in us. And we need to recognize that. We need to know that we are called into that, that we are chosen sons in a new family, a royal family, in a new army. We're part of a new company. It's the company of the King. Yeah. And it's key that we continually go back to that and know that, you know, that we know who we are, that the King's called me. And it's an incredible honor to be in relationship with him and to be in the fire of his glory, because that's what we're called into and that's what we're called to. So it's a radical encounter with the commander, a radical experience of his power, and a radical commitment to him and his word, because it talks about we've received this divine power, but out of that we've also received promises. It says exceedingly precious promises. This is the ammunition, full of promises. And God has wired us as men to receive promises, to take hold of promises, to pass on the promises to our wives and our children and to the generations afterwards, and to live out the promises. He's wired us actually to be promise keepers. And so what we've got there, guys, is you've got a divine power in you, and so have I, because I've met Jesus through the Holy Spirit. But there are divine promises in our hands that we need to get into our heads, and as Gareth said, into our hearts, so that we actually take ground. The power that, so that the power within us is worked out in influencing lives around us. Yeah? And that is key for us to get to understand. And if we're going to work these qualities into our lives, we understand that, you see, it's through the promises. If you read the text there, it's through he's given us these promises by which we become sharers, partakers of divine nature. So you may say, well, no, I've already got the power. I'm already a partaker of divine nature. True. But God wants us to go deeper into that relationship, deeper into the experience of that divine nature. And we do that by imbibing, feeding on the promises and allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to just take us deeper and further. Are you with me? So recognize who's in you. Rise up in the light of who you are, whose you are, and who is in you. And in doing that, you know, we live something of this mission out of, as kingdom men. So two primary values that are essential for us to live from this divine power and become sharers of divine nature. And that's what I want to focus in on in the next 15 minutes before we pray and minister to each other and worship our King. And the two primary values that really set up these other qualities are honor and commitment. Honor and commitment. That God calls us into his glory and virtue. That's an incredible honor. Yeah, we come into this place of, wow, you are King. That actually the chief end of our lives is to live for his glory. Remember that Westminster Catechism? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him. I like that. And enjoy him forever. Yeah? And that's what we should be, you know, when all said and done, guys, we should be encouraging one another in that aim this year. Again, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. If we're doing that, when all said and done, whether we're clay pigeon shooting, motorbiking, if it's coming from a wellspring, a mainspring of glorifying God and enjoying him together, we're going to see God do amazing things through us. And we're going to live the adventure. We're going to win the battle. We're going to grow in our love. And we're going to be examples. So let's look at these two things then, commitment and honour. And I'm going to do a bit of interaction as I'm talking now. Let's look at these two fundamental values. But before we talk about commitments, I want to read to you the three core values of the Marine Corps in the USA, and equate these to what we're talking about this morning in terms of being Kingdom men and Kingdom Marines. It's amazing. And the first one is honor. And this is what it says. Honor, this is the bedrock of character. It is the quality that exemplifies the ultimate in ethical and moral behavior. To never lie, cheat, or steal. To abide by an uncompromising code of integrity. To respect human dignity. And to have respect and concern for each other. It represents the maturity, the dedication, the trust, and dependability that commit Marines to act responsibly, to be accountable for their actions, to fulfill their obligations, and hold others accountable for their actions. That's quite a statement. I'll type this out and send it around to us as men. It's an amazing, if you look at that description, I mean, you can just see that is rooted actually in so much of truth of Scripture, the way God has what empowers us to be. And wants us to how he wants us to relate to our wives, one another, in the home, in the community, etc. So that's honor. And then courage is the second one. Courage is the heart of our core values. Courage is the mental, moral, and physical strength ingrained in Marines that sees them through the challenges of combat and the mastery of fear. To do what is right, to adhere to a higher standard of personal conduct, to lead by example, and to make tough decisions under stress and pressure. It is the inner strength that enables the Marine to take that extra step. So, in terms of pioneering, living in the adventure, taking ground, taking hold of God's promise, that's courage. And then the third one is commitment. Commitment, this is the spirit of determination and dedication within members of a force of arms that leads to professionalism and mastery of the art of war. It promotes the highest order of discipline for unit and self, and is the ingredient that instills dedication to the corps and country 24 hours a day, instills pride, a concern for others, and an unrelenting determination to achieve a standard of excellence in every endeavor. Commitment is the value that establishes the Marine as the warrior and citizens others strive to emulate. So I don't know if you saw coming through there again, just through those statements. I mean, it's a lot to take in, I know, but the thing of honour and commitment is like the bedrock of character and fundamental in terms of provides the impetus for us to be determined and dedicated, stepping forward and being those adventurers, warriors, lovers and examples. All right, so commitment. When you think of the word commitment, what do you think of? I won't pick somebody out.
Doing things wholeheartedly.
Yeah, that's good. 100%. Yeah, that's good. 100%. And so that speaks of total commitment, yeah? Something total, it's wholehearted. And, the old story of when you have bacon and eggs for breakfast, the chicken was involved, but But the pig was totally committed. Yeah. Yeah, he gave everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus gave
everything.
Everything. Our King has given everything. Yeah, sacrifice. Commitment, biblically, commitment will lead to sacrifice. It's the basis of sacrifice. It's 100%. So a marriage is not 50% Malcolm and 50% Lynn. Marriage is 100% Malcolm, 100% Lynn. And yeah, we both fall short of that, you know, from time to time, or maybe even not quite regularly. But the goal is that we're all in. That even when we lose, or we're short of the mark, we realize again, no, we're all in. Whether we win together or lose together, we stay together. Yeah, because we're a team. We're committed. That's what the basis of marriage, Christian marriage, is a total commitment. And that's an incredible testimony, you know, to the culture and the world in which we're living right now, you know, where there isn't that same level of commitment for the long haul. So sacrifice is part of that. What other words do you think about when you think of the word commitment?
Sacrifice.
Yeah.
And what are other words other than sacrifice? Yeah.
No, looking back.
No, looking back, yeah. So there's a vision for the long haul. Yeah,
looking forward.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Focus
forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another word that I think of is consistency. If somebody's committed, yeah. There's a consistency. There's a reliability. A committed man is reliable. You can count on him. He'll be there. In the book of Proverbs, it says somebody who's not reliable or dependable is like chewing down on a tooth that's got an abscess. It aches. And you know, if you've ever had a tooth with an abscess, my wife has. And you know, if you like climbing the wall, it's so painful. Yeah. It actually just, the pain immobilizes you.
That's, yeah.
You become totally focused on the pain. And the point of that little proverb is that when we're not faithful as men, what we're part of can be made dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And can be immobilized. Because actually, the running of things smoothly, for things to run smoothly in life, in every area of life, requires commitment. You know, if the bin man doesn't come to clear the bins once a week, suddenly there's a smell in the air. If the bus doesn't arrive on time, we get angry because we need to get to our appointment. There's a reliability, and as soon as the commitment of people, the faithfulness of people breaks down, things no longer run smoothly.
No. Yeah. That's actually an interesting one. I realized that dependability is probably the core thing that enables all the other things to work. Because you can have brilliance, but if you can't rely on that brilliance, you won't use it.
Yeah.
So it's almost.
I think brilliance comes out of this whole circle. Yeah. Because if all works like cookie, then you're brilliant.
Yeah.
In what you're doing, but if one is out of line, like pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can so much relate to that.
Yeah.
In the business world or whatever where you are, you know, it's just if the things don't work together, and mistakes happen,
yeah.
It's very painful.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Money.
That's yeah.
Lost.
Yeah,
stuff
that's
like
right.
That, you know, it's,
yeah,
but with consistency, you can work with. You can build on consistency. You can get it's like without consistency, without knowing that there's a standard that will be regularly achieved,
you can't move further.
You can't move further.
No, you can't move further.
It's as Malcolm said.
Yeah.
It just disables the entire.
It disables the whole. Yeah.
And you know, if you think of the marine thing, that there's a discipline and there's a training there to commit,
yeah,
so that actually everyone functions in the way that they are able, yeah, to function in the moment.
That's the saying, a guy said, I mean, it's Marine Corps or wherever you are, quality is not an accident. It's the, yeah, result of intelligent effort.
Very good. Very good. Quality is not an accident, it's a result, result of intelligent effort. Yeah.
So this means the quality of each person or coming out of the spiritual values.
Yeah. I think also the consistency means, for me, talks about a life that is straight.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, and that comes through a commitment to God and His Word. You know, that actually I'm going to line my life up with the promises of God.
And make the way straight.
I'm going to, yeah, that's right. Trust Him and, yeah, commit to my ways to Him, mm-hmm, and commit to what He says in His Word. Another aspect of this is accountability, because commitment connects with accountability in that we want to be, we're willing to be accountable for what we commit ourselves to. Yeah, so that if we build accountability into our lives, it enables us to grow in our commitments. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means that we're open to receiving feedback and from others. And accountability and commitments we make to not only to each other but to our wives and to God's people together. There's an accountability that which is actually key for us in growing in our character together and being more effective and fruitful in our daily lives, because we can drift from our commitments, and we need others to help us to stay true to our commitments.
Yeah.
Yeah? And then in terms of leaving a legacy, like Tom said here about looking forward and a consistency, if we're growing in our commitment and if we're steady in our commitment, ultimately that's what impresses and our children, our wives, others. It makes an impression, and people will follow in those same footsteps. And so there's an incredible thing of power, a power in this thing of commitment, sacrifice, consistency, things running smoothly, the whole machine of life working because we're committed, and the kingdom advancing because we're committed to God's. If you think about the way Jesus lived, you know, again, when all said and done, that His love for the Father and His commitment to the Father were total. And like one singer used to sing, love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. You know, it's a commitment, and that's how Jesus lived. So that whole thing of commitment is like the bedrock. So just reading that, commitment is the value that establishes the Marine as the warrior and citizen others strive to emulate. And commitment honors God because it's His nature. If He is one who is totally committed, totally sacrificial, that's who He is. God is love, and that's the kind of love that He is. When we are committed as men, we honor Him and bring glory to Him. And so, yeah, I wanted to challenge us this morning. How much do I want to become a godly man or a kingdom marine? How much am I willing to do 100% what God says in His Word? Yeah, this becomes our code of honor, the code that we live by, that we commit to, that we abide. You know, there's an uncompromising commitment, even when times are tough, even in the pressure times, times of famine, times of difficulty, times of when things are hurting, times when things don't make sense. Do we stay true to our commitments? And, you know, in the time of battle, in the time of heat, in the time of stress, do we stay true to our commitments? I love the heart of David, one of my heroes in the Bible. You know, that's where he, as a warrior, as a kingdom marine, he comes to the battlefield as a young man, and Goliath's out there. And, you know, everyone's backpedaling in fear of this giant. And David says this, he says to the guys, he says, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" All they've seen is the size of the giant and the fear. And he says to them, "Is there not a cause here?" In other words, his focus and the cause is, this is an uncircumcised Philistine. This is, and we are here to defend the name of our God. Yeah. And that thing of just the kingdom cause, you know, that he was committed to, the king of the kingdom, and the lifting up of God's name. And just, yeah, that was the what he was committed to.
So his motivation at the end of the day
was, yeah,
a completely different view than size. It was cause.
Yeah, that's right. And there was a commitment to a greater cause.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was bigger than the fears that were consuming the rest of the army. Yeah. So, commitment, that's something on commitment. The second value, just to touch on, is honor, okay? I've been reading a book over Christmas called, it's got a simple title, it's called Awe, A-W-E. And how does awe affect everything that we think of, everything that we do, everything that we say? If we struggle to keep our commitments and obey what God says in his word, we don't have a law problem, we have a awe problem, A-W-E. If we struggle to resist temptation, and maybe we're struggling to confront an issue, maybe in the family, or with our wives, or with the children, or maybe in the workplace, we don't have a war or a fear problem, actually. We have a awe problem, A-W-E problem. Because at the root of those things is that we're not seeing God for who he is. You know, that thing of the full glory of who he is. In other words, if we see that the glory of our King and live in awe of him, it will enable us as men to confront issues, to deal with things, to step out on obedience, in obedience, even when it's tough. And so the thing of honor and commitment go hand in hand. So what areas do we need to be honoring? I want to just finish off with this quickly. And there's five W's I want to just leave us with. First of all, honoring God in our worship. That's awe, isn't it? That's the, you know, as worshippers, giving him the central place. And, you know, that is at the beginning of our day, but it's also during the day. The way we think, the quality of our work. But just beginning in that place, you know, I want to challenge myself and challenge each one of us again, just in terms of that thing of being men after God's own heart, in terms of our worship. Because actually, before being an adventurer, before being a warrior, before being an example, the first and primary thing is to be a lover of God, yeah, a worshipper of God. So that's the first one. We honor God through our worship, and we could talk a lot more about that, you know, the kind of worship. But that includes prayer. Because actually, we as men, God has given us the responsibility to guard our households, to pray over our wives. They're going to be praying over us this year, as they hopefully in with increased measure in terms of some of the things that they're going to be learning as ladies. But God's given us the responsibility. It's a sobering thing for us to realize that actually we are responsible for everything that comes in to our household. And we're responsible for that in relation to our wives and our children. Certainly while the children are under our roof. Yeah. And obviously when they move out and form their own lives and their own family units, it's a different story. But that's the kind of responsibility that we have. But we become prophets and priests and kings in the home through this thing of worship. Hearing God, hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to us, highlighting things. And then not just guarding, but actually speaking prophetically over our futures and over my wife, over our children, etc. Okay. Second one is our words, honoring God with our words. That's kind of back to commitments again. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Jesus says, let your yes be yes. You know, everything else is from the evil one. It's just that thing of integrity, this uncompromising code of integrity. Yeah, that our word is our bond. And, you know, just to challenge each other on that as well. I need challenging on that. We all need challenging. Punctuality, you know. Tom and I were chatting about that a bit this week, you know. Just that thing of, yeah, punctuality, honouring God, honouring one another, coming on time, honouring the people that we're meeting with. And all the little things, you know, related to that. Sometimes when a brother says, will you pray for me? And I say, I'll pray for you. Do we remember to pray for them? You know, we've said we will pray for them. Do we fulfill on that promise? Do we fulfill on that word? Small things. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Yeah, just be men of our word. And then thirdly, our wallet.
So the first thing was worship.
Worship, words, wallet. Our finances. You know, God says in Proverbs 3, verses 7 to 10, do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't have an awe of self. Fear, revere the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And then verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Now that's interesting, your possessions, not just talking finance, with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And scripture's full of that thing of what a man does with his finances indicates where his heart is at with God. And if we just isolate verse 9 from verse 10, and it just says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, boom. And he doesn't put that rider, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine.
What scripture are you
in? It's Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. 9 and 10, yeah. If we just said, honour the Lord, my question is, would we do it? The amazing thing is that when we honour the Lord in this way, there is always a supply. It's a promise. It's one of the many promises that God put. And it's not just the once-off promise. There's promises right through Scripture, even given by Jesus. Seek first the King and the kingdom, and all these other things will be
added
unto you. Don't need to worry about it. Don't need to get anxious about it. Don't need to be stressed about it. And, you know, when you look at the New Testament church, they lived in this thing of awe, A-W-E. They lived from a center of awe. If you look Acts 2, Acts 4, it says that there was awe amongst them. That's the word. There was awe of God. There was awesome things happening in terms of the miraculous. And there was an awesome sense of community. It said there was no one needy amongst them. That's a challenge for us, isn't it, as men? And you know, I was chatting with a friend of mine, Kurt from South Africa, this week, where actually they've got a serious famine in South Africa right now. Been happening for Charles has just come back from there. Drought for many, many months of drought. And he was saying that the price of goods will be doubling or trebling in the next couple of months in the supermarkets. I mean, it's a massive doubling or trebling.
Yeah.
Many people are going to be on the breadline. And a huge challenge for the church. And he was saying to me that God's been speaking to them about bring the resources into the storehouse, honor me, and I will supply the needs of everybody. You see...
So what does that look like practically?
That's a very good question. But what it looks like in basic terms is this, is that as we honor God with our tithes and our offerings, our first fruits, and as we look to our brother, look to those who are below the breadline, those needs are practically provided. It's a very good question. So it's a both and. We obey God in what He's given to us in His Word, and we look at providing for those who have need, so that there's no one needy amongst us. But the wonderful challenge with that is that see that God's word works in a famine, and it works when there's a surplus. Mm-hmm. It works all the time, and I think the financial systems of this world have never really been the same since 2008, and they're not going to get any better. They're going to just continue to be in chaos going forward. And I think there's a redeeming opportunity for us in terms of representing Him to our world in terms of love and compassion and bringing the gospel through our generosity and our compassion, not just within the church, but beyond into lives, whether it's food banks and so on and so forth. Okay, wallet. The last two... my wife, Peter, who we read earlier, who went on a journey himself as a man, he says in his third, First Peter 3, says, "You husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you," and he's speaking about physically, "in design, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. We are joint heirs together of God's grace, the grace of life." And here's the thing for us guys. He says, if you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Your prayers will be hindered. And the way a man treats his wife is the way a man treats his God. That thing of honoring our marriage, Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, "Give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery." And, there's nothing more powerful than our worship, I've mentioned earlier, and our prayers in a marriage and our prayers in a home. But if we're not treating and honoring our wives as we should, then those prayers are cut off, those prayers are hindered, and the enemy gains ground. And so it's practical things. That's seeking to grow in an understanding of our wives, and blessing them, dating them, romancing them, enjoying, encouraging. Understanding, listening, taking time to communicate, all of those things have to do with honor. And then finally, number five, it's honoring his wife, which is the bride of Christ, which is us, brothers in arms, honoring the church, honoring one another. And
so the fifth W is wife again, was
it? Yeah, his wife.
His wife.
Yeah. So what I'm wanting to do is just, I mean, there's a lot there, but the two things here of honor and commitment, just those two values of honor and commitment, and as we go forward this year, like a bedrock for us. I don't know if anybody's heard of Promise Keepers. Anybody heard of the group called Promise Keepers? A number of years ago, it's probably over 20 years ago, there was a group in America that was started based on, it was about 50,000 men that gathered in America for many years ago, 1993, and out of that there was a gathering that grew in terms of men wanting to be people who kept their promises, you know. And I've kind of taken those seven promises and have put them together for us today as men, basically commitments, biblical commitments, for us to make afresh today, if we'd like to do that. I think it'd be good for us to do that in terms of saying, "Yeah, Lord, we want to be men of honor. We want to be men who are committed to you, to one another in our homes, and we want to be accountable to one another going forward this year." And I thought it'd be good for us just to declare these this morning, and then out of that we can have some ministry to each other, and a bit of worship as well as we finish, as we look at closing off.
Sorry, today. What was the last one?
His wife, the bride of Christ, the church. Yeah, yeah. One another, brothers together. Yeah, yeah. The W is a bit confusing.
Yeah.
So I'll just wait for Roy to come back, and then we'll do that together. But we've been looking at this Freedom in Christ material again recently. I know that Gareth's group started it on Thursday. We've been looking at it on Tuesday, and one of the things that's very powerful about that course is that they look at promises related to your identity in Christ, related to your the fatherhood of God and how God sees you, and related to the promises of God and what God has designed you to be and to do. And those first three sessions, it ends off with each of the sessions actually declaring some of those things. This is who I am in Christ. And renouncing some of the lies. My father is not like this. He's not critical. He's not overbearing. He's not condemning. My father is loving, accepting, gracious, kind, redeeming. And then declaring some of the promises of God. And so it's a similar thing we're going to do now. And so why don't we just stand together and just spend a few minutes. We're going to declare these promises together. And commitments together. You know, when do we remember back to our wedding day? Just the other day, for a few years. You know, where we made those commitments to each other, yeah. But primarily to God. But. To each other in the presence of God and in the presence of other witnesses. And, you know, incredible, those commitments are important. You know, commitment is not something we build towards. Commitment is something we build on. And that's really what I felt this morning, is that, you know, as we look at some of these other qualities of a Marine into the future, the two bedrock values, that kingdom values that we build on, are honor honor of God, honor of one another, honor of our wife, and commitment. We want to commit afresh to that. And you know, I remember when Lynn and I got married, we decided not to follow the minister in repeating our vows. We decided to say them ourselves to each other, face to face. And this is how we started them off. We said, according to God's will, according to God's will, that's how we started. In other words, we believe that what we're about to say is in God's word, and it's mm-hmm. God's will. It's in keeping with God's will. Mm-hmm. That's the basis of our commitment. It's His will. And the second one was, according to God's will and dependent on His grace. Mm-hmm. That we cannot keep these commitments on our own. Mm-hmm. They're impossible for us to keep without Him. We're dependent on that divine power within us for life and godliness. And that's true for us as men this morning. And so as we talk about making these commitments, let's remember that. It's His will. We're saying, Father, we want Your will. Mm-hmm. And Father, we're dependent on Your grace.
Yeah.